And with that, we'll move to 17 on our agenda, Nest Predator Bounty Program.
Been a long afternoon. Well, good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. Coming forward, we're going to talk about the Nest Predator Bounty Program. First, I just want to acknowledge the comment you just made about the Wildlife Damage Management Program. I think the other key factor there for all of us to recognize, again, especially the people listening in today, South Dakota is unique in the efforts that we put forward from a wildlife damage management program, if I can call it that. We're unique in that no other state has this type of program that does these types of efforts. The amount of staff that we have dedicated to working with landowners, producers, to dealing with an array of wildlife damage efforts from Canada geese in the Northeast to deer depredation and a bad winter all across the state to elk depredation in the Black Hills and on the prairie, antelope at times, different things, prairie dogs, all the diverse work that we do. So I do want to give again a kudos and a big thank you to all of our dedicated staff that work on those efforts, no different than all the other programs that we do. But this one's unique to South Dakota and there's not many places that provide these types of services and programs that we do. And it's about working with our biggest partner that we have in South Dakota, and that's South Dakota landowners. So just wanted to reiterate the importance of that program, because the work that we do in that arena also lends itself to the work that we do and working with planners to do habitat on private lands, obtaining access on private lands, all those different things. So again, just a big shout out to those folks that put that work into that program. So let's talk bounty program. I kind of feel like I'm in the Capitol in a legislative committee hearing right now, because we just went through a similar type of conversation like this, but appreciate the opportunity to visit with you folks today about the Nest Predator Bounty Program. First comment I do want to make, because we heard comments when we were over in the Capitol this year working on Senate Bill 148, which was the Nest Predator Bounty Program bill that we went in opposition to. We heard testimony during that committee hearing about the dollars that are spent on this program are taxpayers' dollars. We heard a few comments again today and some of those comments about the program itself. I know it might seem minor, but it is not minor. This is an important piece. We do not use taxpayers' dollars. We do not use general funds from the legislature to pay for any of our programs within the Division of Wildlife, Habitat Access, this program, all that. So these are not taxpayer dollars. These are licensed dollars. So the users out there that buy those hunting licenses, trapping licenses, fishing licenses, those types of things are the resources from a financial standpoint that pay for this program and many of our programs. So I just want to make that distinction, because those are two different things. These are not taxpayer dollars that cover this particular program. That being said, commissioners, let's talk about the program itself. So the Nest Predator Bounty Program has been successful in many different ways. It has gotten youth in the outdoors. It engaged youth into the outdoor recreational activity of trapping. Some, maybe it re-engaged them. We've put families in the outdoors. Connecting families to the outdoors is one of our primary pieces of our mission as an agency. It has done that. Since the inception of the program, over 340,000 nest predators have been removed. When we look at the youth participation, the last 4 years of the program, over 30% each year minimum were youth that were engaged in the program. We had two consecutive years where it was up to the 46% where youth were engaged in the program. So from the standpoint of the program, has it been successful? I would say, based on our objectives of the program, what it was set out to do, the answer is yes. And it also, in those efforts of removing those nest predator bounty programs, again, one done at high intensity at local levels, and during that primary nesting season, it will and it can make an impact on the nest success of pheasants, waterfowl, those ground nesting birds. And we've certainly seen that over the time with the program. Yet, every year we hear comments no different than today, of folks coming in that are opposed to the program, do not support the program, asking you as the commission, asking us as the department to cease the program. And we know that there are differences of opinions, right? There's different philosophies out there. But yet we do hear every year to stop the program. One of the common themes about stopping the program is the money being spent on this and go put it into Habitat and Access. I'll share with you the same comment that I shared with the commission, or excuse me, the committee members in the Senate Ag and Natural Resource committee meeting. I started out by saying, we do Habitat and Access. One third of our budget, one third of our dollars that we spend in the Wildlife Division go to Habitat and Access every year. It's our objective. It's our number one priority. And so we are doing that. And can we do more? Do we want to do more? Absolutely. If I asked Secretary Roebling if I could get that up to 50%, he would tell me, if you can find a way to do it, make it happen, right? So do we want to do more Habitat Access? Absolutely, yes. But it's about balancing everything out. A lot of our programs, but still Habitat Access is our number one priority when we're doing that. 2 years in a row now, we've had bills come to the legislature to put a stop to, or a bill to say no more nest predator bounty program. This year was the second year. Senate Bill 148 was brought forward. That particular bill, it did not say we couldn't remove and work with those five critters if we're having issues working with a landowner or something. It just said that you cannot provide a bounty for it. So basically it eliminated the program itself, just how it was written and described. When that bill did fail in committee, there was some additional conversation. I think some of you actually went back, or you did hear some of the testimony that was talked about. You then heard some of the discussion that the committee members had at the conclusion of their deliberations and when they took their final action. What they did mention was actually to submit a letter to the department, to the commission, saying that we'd like to see those expenditures dropped by 50% or cut in half for this program. Really like to see that emphasis on youth. And there was another suggestion or recommendation that was brought up about even further limit the individuals to a smaller number that they could take. Do they need to have X amount while they're taking those predators and those trapping activities? The other part that I want to share with you again is that when we were speaking to this bill in that committee, one of our main points that we shared to the committee members was, this is a program within the department, and the conversation about changing the program or putting stipulations on the program or making modifications to the program is best fit right here in this setting at a commission meeting with the commissioners, having conversations with the public, versus trying to quick put in requirements, parameters within a legislative bill and then ultimately in statute. As soon as you want to make a modification, now you're doing that, right? And so, and they agreed to that, especially when Secretary Roebling even offered up that, hey, we're going to take this back and visit with you commissioners at your March meeting about this particular program. So here we are today having those conversations. But we'll share in openness and talking about, there's a lot of folks that have interest in this. We heard from a lot of legislators the last couple of years. We've heard their recommendations, comments. Secretary Roebling also talked to the governor's office and talked about those suggested items that came from those legislators in that committee meeting. And that governor's office expressed support for looking at adjustments or modifications to the program. So based on all these conversations, what we are going to talk about today with the Nest Predator Bounty Program is a transition and somewhat of a rebrand that we're going to bring as a recommendation to you. And the first thing is going to be the name, and to go from Nest Predator Bounty Program to what we would suggest is a youth trapping recruitment program. It goes right in line with a lot of the comments we've heard from folks about just the focus on youth. And so we're going to look at a transition. So I'm going to continue on with a little more background, then I'm going to come back with a handout for you that will go into some of the specifics on that piece of it. At the same time, even today again, we've had conversations about deer numbers across South Dakota. We talked about the low deer numbers in the Southeast again, concerns over that. Commissioner Spring, back on the commission, one of the first conversations we had was talking about deer numbers out in Western South Dakota, correct? And those are priorities of many of you as you hear constituents, our users, our other landowners talking to you about it. So these conversations have resulted in many actions that you have taken in respect to deer conversations. In many locations, we have basically reduced or drastically reduced to almost the point of complete elimination of harvest of does. You mentioned the youth tags, right? And I think you even said it, Commissioner. That's like the last resort that we don't want to go to if we don't have to. Maybe there's a point where we do have to consider that, right? But the point being is you have taken actions as a commission from recommendations from us of reducing licenses drastically to eliminating doe tags, eliminating doe harvest. Now we're changing tags from any deer to buck only tags. So that's reducing the doe harvest. We do it in antelope as well. They're buck tags only. But yet we have some areas where those numbers are not bouncing back like we maybe anticipated or hoping that they would. So then that goes to the conversation. Well, what are those factors? Well, we know there's multiple factors that affect population levels out there, whether we're talking deer, antelope, other critters out there, right? Number one's habitat. What are the habitat conditions like? We think of deer and antelope. If we're under really drought conditions, especially in Western South Dakota, that can have an impact on reproductive potential of those big game species out there. Not only from their natural reproductive ability, but less cover and all those things. And so they're less successful in raising that fawn. We know we have disease issues that can have an impact on population levels. EHD, we've talked about it again today. It was mentioned a couple different times, the impact that that can have. Weather elements, we can have a really, really tough winter, drought. All those things have an impact on the ability for those critters to bounce back. And then the other part is we have low recruitment of fawns. When our numbers are low and we're seeing that even in some of our surveys, we see that our fawn to doe ratio is lower and lower in some areas where we see low deer numbers. And that is because we are having low recruitment of fawns. A lot of times you see the highest level of mortality for fawns, both deer and antelope, in those first couple of months. It's just the reality of it. So one common theme that we hear, and we've been hearing about pretty steadily across the last couple of years from sportsmen, landowners, organization, is the high population level of coyotes on the landscape in South Dakota. And we don't hear this from just one corner of the state. We hear it from north to south, east to west, to every other corner and many parts in between. We hear stories of when folks go up and doing coyote removal, the pure numbers that they remove in a short amount of time with aircraft. Guys that are going out and harvesting coyotes with thermal equipment now has become more popular. Trapping, snaring, whatever it might be. We are hearing constantly that those numbers are maybe some of the highest that they've seen in a very long time. We did have staff go back and review some literature related to what potential impacts could coyote have on fawn recruitment and what does that look like? And, you know, I'll just give you a paraphrase, a summary of a couple of key projects and studies that our staff looked at. And it says, you know, it has been shown that neonate predation is often the strongest measurable impact of coyotes on ungulates, i.e. coyotes predating on young fawns. Where coyotes are the dominant predator, their increased densities can intensify predation on ungulate neonates, i.e. the young, and influence population dynamics. So do we think this is happening? It certainly is. Do we know the exact level? I would offer to you, it probably varies from location to location, what that overall impact is. But we know there's an elevated level of concern out there from sports, from landowners that are seeing these different things out there. That's one piece of this. Now, the other piece of high coyote numbers goes back to livestock. And So livestock, or alleviating coyote depredation in livestock, is a priority of our agencies. We just talked about the Wildlife Damage Management Action Plan and our ADC program. We have three federal planes. We have staff working with those staff. We have staff removing coyotes. We have contract pilots. We have other folks, predator districts, that are doing that work. This last year in our ADC program, we removed over 10,000 coyotes with just those pieces alone. That's separate from what sports are taking through hunting and trapping as well. Our wildlife damage specialists in our plan and on their focus, when we talk about their work, basically February to June is focused on livestock depredation and coyote removal, in particular during that calving and lambing time period of the year. So we already focus their time on that. And we're hearing from livestock groups, ranchers, farmers, legislators, even the governor's office, continue to encourage us to do more where we can to control coyote numbers and support new approaches. So with all these high level of interest in coyote control efforts from a livestock perspective, from a wildlife perspective, the concerns of what they may be have, today we come before you also to talk about another transition and another adjustment to the overall Nest Predator Bounty Program, which we're going to recommend go away completely, is a coyote bounty program. And I'm going to give you a few details in just a moment on that. Now, I understand there are going to be folks that aren't going to support a bounty program. It doesn't matter what it looks like, they probably will not support it. However, we do know that these things have been used for a long time. And in fact, in the state right now in western South Dakota, Utah, has a coyote bounty program in place that's been going since, I believe it's 2013, specifically to help or enhance deer population levels, in particular mule deer recruitment, and provide a bounty program. They have been for quite some time. They provide a higher fee or a higher bounty, $100 per coyote in their quote unquote target area for mule deer. And then the rest of the state, their mule deer habitat priority areas. And then the rest of the state, it's a $50 bounty for outside of that mule deer area. That's just one example that is out there. So with that all in mind, with the conversations we've had about the Nest Predator Bounty Program, what has been brought forward in legislature the last couple of years, the conversations we've been having, we look at this as an opportunistic time to make some modifications, do a transition from what the program is today, to maybe bring forward a couple of recommendations to you today on a new approach and rebranding of that moving forward. Madam Chair, I'm gonna just hand this out to you. This will give a few more details of what I'm talking about specifically. So the page I just passed out to you is, it's a recommendation. Let's just look at it that way. Of what we're talking about here. So the front part says the Nest Predator Bounty Program on the top. It says transition to a youth trapping recruitment program. So it'd be just that. It's going to focus on youth specifically. And so the Nest Predator Bounty Program, we would say, would go away as it is, but yet it's basically somewhat retained just through a youth trapping recruitment program. That would be the name of it or something close to that if you have a different idea. But basically what this would do is reduce the Nest Predator Bounty Program to youth only. So those folks that would be 17 years of age or younger, resident youth of South Dakota, it would still be available statewide, no different than the program is right now, the same eligible species that the Nest Predator Bounty has. From the overall program, the expenditure that would be used for this would be maxed out at $200,000. So again, retaining that $10 per bounty or per tail that would be submitted through this program, we would set a max of $200,000 for this specific component of this program. When we look at the data from the youth participation that I mentioned a few moments ago in the Nest Predator Bounty Program to date, the max we would have gotten to is about $160,000. Now, we'll see how many youth participate and how that goes, but our recommendation would be to put a cap at $200,000 for the program. Again, it would It would the program would run from March 1 through July 1, no different than it is today. And again, retain that bounty at $10. So when you look at it from the objective standpoint, it really doesn't change what our objectives were for the youth component of the Nest Predator Bounty Program, right? Continue to recruit youth in the outdoor recreation of trapping, connect families to the outdoors. And again, we're going to continue to promote because people are going to trap no matter what for pheasant, improved pheasant nest success, waterfall nest success, whether they have a program or not. And our encouragement is going to be do it at a localized area, high intensity during the primary nesting season, that May, June, July timeframe, April, May, June, July, where you can have that impact. You do it at those considerations at that very local level. So that's our recommendation for that piece of it. If you flip it over, would be the second part of it is the Coyote Bounty Program. This would be a statewide program. All South Dakota residents, youth and adults would be eligible to participate. Again, statewide, the eligible species for this would be coyote. What we recommend to you or propose for the consideration, right now the Nest Predator Bounty Program utilizes a total of $500,000. I just mentioned our recommendation, $200,000 set aside for the youth trapping recruitment program. To utilize the other $300,000 that was available through the Nest Bounty Program to be available for the Coyote Bounty Program. Right now, our recommendation B is to run the program April 1 through July 1, again at that maximum of $300,000. If that dollar amount would be reached prior to the July 1 date, then the program would cease. It would be over for the year. Right now, we have a recommendation of $20 per tail for the coyote or $20 for the coyote. Again, you're talking about the time of year where the furs are not prime when you're thinking of that late spring, early summer versus in the fall and winter. Again, the time frame for this is looking at the time frame where we really focus our coyote control measures for livestock depredation, in particular calving and lambing time frame. And again, this is also the time when you have your primary time for fawns, deer fawns, and antelope fawns hitting the ground as well. So some of those objectives, again, help with the livestock depredation by removing coyotes across the state during that peak calving and lambing season. Mule deer, antelope, whitetail populations are down in some parts of the states as we've had those conversations. This would be a means of helping to reduce coyote numbers during that fawning season to help with fawn survival. Not saying that this is the standalone thing that's going to all of a sudden catapult our deer numbers or antelope numbers up. It's a combination of many factors. However, during that time period, removing some additional coyotes can only be a helpful thing. And it would provide an incentive during a time, as I just mentioned, when furs are not in their prime to have or encourage people to participate in the activity. So commissioners, I know that's kind of a lot in a short amount of time, but this is a recommendation we're bringing forward to you. So essentially what happens, the Nest Predator Bounty Program as it stands today would go away, and that would transition into a youth trapping recruitment program. At the level of a maximum of $200,000, it would create a coyote bounty program, a statewide program, utilization of $300,000 or, and run through those time periods. Again, I think a key to this that I want to make very, very clear, this is not new money or additional funds that are going to be used towards this. It would be utilizing that $500,000 that's being used for the Nest Predator Bounty Program right now between these two programs. So it's not additional funds on top of what we have been currently expending for the Nest Predator Bounty Program. So Madam Chair, I hope that's a good summary for you to understand what our recommendations are. We know this is not an easy topic. There's complexity to it. There's a lot of different emotions to it. There's a lot of different philosophies behind it. We are looking at ways to recruit folks and encourage them to get in the outdoors. We know it's been successful from the youth perspective. We hear the stories. You have heard the stories. It's been a lot of positive things that have come from that. Coyote numbers are high. This doesn't take away from any of the other efforts that might be going on in respect to coyote. But we're also looking at this as another opportunity for folks to be engaged and better understand wildlife management. This is an opportunity potentially to reduce some coyote numbers at a critical time of the year, both for agricultural producers of calving and lambing, and also from a wildlife perspective of reducing that predation on fawns that same time of year as well. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Madam Chair, and the commissioners. I will do my best to answer any questions you may have, but I hope it makes sense for what we presented to you here today.
It does. Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Cole.
First of all, I can't believe that we both came up with the same idea at the same time. That's awesome. No, what a great idea this is. And I'll tell you what, specifically in my region, as we just talked earlier about the deer, you know, hunters for the last few years didn't believe that the coyotes were having a big problem on it. And I'll tell you what, they know it now, and they can see it. So, I mean, we're killing two birds with one stone, so to speak. I think that's awesome. And I think that's that way statewide in the Southwest. I remember Travis was telling me the same thing. You know, so I think the coyote part's awesome. I think the rebrand is really cool. I think it puts everything where it is. I do have one question, though. I'm really good at Googling it. It shows that we still have a state bounty on coyotes, and it's codified law 45, whatever. This has nothing to do with that, correct?
No.
And that's so it's Department of Ag, I think, isn't it, or whatever. It's agriculture that pays that?
That was one of the key things that we discussed as – we were trying to pull some concept together. So in statute, there is language about at the county level doing a bounty for coyotes. Now, there is statute also that says using referencing the ADC fund to pay for bounties, which we are not, right? We would be using licensed dollars. And so that gives us that ability to do that as well. But while there is that on the books, if I may, in statute, that hasn't happened for a long time. It was put in place for more than probably 4 or 5 decades ago. It's just something that doesn't happen out there, nor do they have the funds to do that. Again, for this, we would be using licensed dollars. We would not be using ADC funds or dollars of the ADC program. Those funds will still be there for our program itself, the ADC program. This would be the licensed funds to do this. You mentioned, as folks are recognizing the potential impact there of coyotes on fawns in particular, please, I don't want any of our comments and discussion to hide the fact that still probably one of the most important pieces to wildlife populations is still habitat, right? So whether it's grassland cover, woody cover, wetlands, and that depends on what part of the state you're in. Out in Chuck's world, Commissioner Spring, you know, good quality grazing management, having good vegetation out in those pastures and stuff is a critical piece to all of this as well. Because good quality habitat also reduces predation, right? However, there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that do have an impact on what wildlife populations do. But I don't want any of us to ever walk out of a meeting and say, it's this, this, and this only, right? It's typically a cumulative effect, combination effect, but we can never hide the fact that habitat is still the cornerstone of what wildlife populations are doing and how far they can go. It's these other things that can probably supplement or provide some additional additives as well.
Very good.
I had one thing. I didn't want to just highlight the coyote thing, but I think that's great. The youth trapping part is something, obviously, you know, the comments you hear, I just kind of scratch my head sometimes because I've gotten more pictures since that program's been existent, emailed to me, texted to me, of fathers with kids and coons and all of them. I mean, it's like, you know, maybe we have to do more educating there, but it's obviously had a huge impact. And I think an adjustment to that is great, but I think we definitely need to keep that going.
Very good. Additional comments, questions from the commission? Commissioner Spring.
When I was young, back in the 60s, there was not a coyote in our area. I mean, it was extremely rare to see a coyote. But at that time, they were using poisons to kill coyotes. Well, they got restricted. Well, coyotes started to come back. And then in the 70s, they started, the furs were worth a lot. And it stayed that way for up till not that many years ago. Well, that kept the coyotes down to a reasonable population. until EHD come back in bad in our area, the coyotes were eating a percentage of the fawn, but there was always plenty to reproduce and keep the herd at a decent number. But as of now, with the numbers down, you might see fawns, you know, end of May, 1st of June, but by midsummer, you don't see any fawns. And EHD has hit again this last year. It's been working on them for 3-4 years where we're down to just a percentage. And unless we get the coyotes down, I don't see any reproduction coming back for a long time. But that's, in my opinion, that's the story of the coyote, because now there's people out with thermals and stuff trying to whittle them down. My boys have worked at it. And unless it's a overall big area working on them. And then as far as aerial hunting, in the rough ground, if the commission or the department could find money to hire some of those guys that do the choppers, it's unreal the amount of coyotes in an hour that they can kill. They could kill 3-4 times as many coyotes in an hour than what a plane can. And there's a lot of work to be done. That probably ain't going to solve it all, but it's going to help. Bounty program is bound to help.
Very good. Any other questions or comments? Commissioner Teal.
Do you, Commissioner Teal, thanks for that, Tom. Do you expect that, like on the coyote bounty program in that 4-month window, that we would get anywhere close to that time of year?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
I mean, you're asking the question, would we use up the $300,000 based on $20? And hard to guess as to the activity and how many would be turned in. Our initial guess is that we probably wouldn't max it. Maybe year number one, something new always sometimes takes a little time also, right? In full disclosure, we had multiple conversations about $20. Is that the right amount also, right? And so that's where we ended at in terms of bringing a recommendation to you. Certainly you would have the prerogative if you want to make an adjustment to that, you know, at $20 and $300,000, I mean, we're talking $15,000, you know, right now, as I just mentioned earlier, I don't think we're going to come anywhere near that number during that time frame and that window. When we look at records from the past of coyotes that were turned in to fur buyers during the fall/winter time frame, you know, those numbers will range between both hunting and trapping collectively together, somewhere to that 12 to 18 to maybe 20,000, somewhere in there in total during that. You look at our ADC program the last couple of years, we were collectively between federal planes and our staff working on the ground and predator districts and that, about 10,000. So to say that will it max out? Probably not likely. But what that number is, it's really hard to guess.
Would there be any benefit to making those dates slightly longer? Or is there, I know that's the main predation time, but
yeah,
would shooting them in February, for example, have any direct negative?
Glad you brought that up too, because we did talk about that a little bit also. And in terms of timing of the year, probably time available for people to participate. That's certainly something that could be looked at in the future. What our focus was in putting this draft concept together for you was trying to visualize that time period that would be potentially beneficial to help with the during calving, lambing, and when fawns were there. And so that's why we looked at that specific window. Obviously, here we are, second week, right. March, right? So thinking of that February, March timeframe is not in the picture for this year,
right?
What we brought forward to you today, and the next thing that I was going to talk about, if your questions were done, is, you know, the next steps and what this approach, because what our thought was, is this recommendation coming to you as a one-year thing, and we see how these this transition and this rebrand and, yeah, and this new concept work, what did we learn from it, right? And then go from there, proceeding after 2026. So I think what we have in front of you would be that concept for this calendar year and to see how it goes. And then those things could be considered, right?
Yeah.
Different time frames and some of that. But we're too late in the game, if I may,
right,
for this year and that.
That makes sense. Thank you for that.
Tom, yeah. I just want to make sure I'm understanding this, and maybe my language is not quite right. So we would be making a decision to dissolve the Nest Predator Bounty Program and then reallocating that money, $200,000, to the Youth Trapping Recruitment Program and then $300,000 to the Coyote Bounty Program. So the Nest Predator Bounty Program, currently the youth can trap, on April 1st when the adults could begin, that would be gone.
Correct. Okay. So the youth part of it has started already March 1. And so should you decide to go this route, what we would do then is get the word out just saying, okay, folks, the rest of the time period is for youth only for those species, right? The coyote piece of it, the coyote bounty part of it, would be available to both adults and youth. But those five species, the nest predator species that we've talked about over the years, that would be specific to youth. Correct.
Thank you. So then we would be making a decision in this meeting.
Correct. So in respect to the conversation right now, your next action, if I may, if you believe this is the right direction to go, you like what we have in front of you and you want to move forward with that, here's what I would offer up to you on the approach, is that today you would take the formal action, say, yes, we want to go with the youth trapping recruitment program and the coyote bounty program. Formally approve that, adopt it, then we would come and bring a new resolution to you tomorrow, no different than you have done in the past, as the committee or the commission has passed a resolution in respect to the Nest Predator Bounty Program. And three things would be included in that resolution. One would say, the commission is going to rescind the existing resolution that had approved the Nest Predator Bounty Program to go for 23, 24, 25, and 26, where we are today. So it would basically rescind that, and in its place would be the two programs that we just talked about today and outlined in one resolution.
Okay. Commissioner Bartley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartley. A couple of questions, Tom. I like it. I really do. I like this. The first one would be, and maybe this is already in the program, the $500, $590 cap per household. Is that in the program right now?
Yes.
That's a cap right now. So
yep.
If you're a family, you got 12 kids, they're going to have to fight for the $590 to spend it and stuff.
It's the battle royale.
Lived that way, grew up that way. Okay. Secondly, are you going to have to expand or add on to locations where the tails could be delivered? I'm thinking of like out in Commissioner Springs area. I don't know that there's do a lot of necessarily the Nest Bounty Program out there because they don't have the pheasant population, things like that. And I don't know, maybe they have a bunch of it out there. Are you going to have to expand those sets?
Our thinking right now would be no. And my reason for saying that is because the current program is statewide. We did collect statewide, And we had points where you could turn them in, locations that included, you know, from wildlife division offices to we would set up specific places to even working with the sister division of Parks and Recreation, where we used a couple of their facilities as well, where staff would set it up. So our expectation would be it would stay the same, and we would adjust making the announcement that both programs would be collected on the same days at the same location. It's more of us handling the internal tracking and logistics of that information and data.
Any other comments from the commissioner?
Commissioner, good to be here. Do you really think 20 bucks is enough, Tom?
Great question. Right. And again, that's something that you as a commission, if you believe it should be at a higher level. Again, this was a conversation of bringing to the draft concept, and we discussed that a lot too. But if you want to do something more or higher, that would be your prerogative in terms of the availability to it. Would a higher one probably incentivize to become more engaged? Most likely.
When the furs were 40, 50 bucks, you know, everybody was out, you know, at least half of that, 25, 30, you know.
We are certainly open to that concept as well. Again, we wanted to bring this forward to you and let you have some of that conversation as well, if you believe that would be more appropriate.
Any other comments or
Sure.
Commissioner Spring?
No, it would be our prerogative to say we're stuck in this time frame this year. Say, for instance, if this goes fairly well or whatever, could next year we say December through March or do a 6-month deal? I mean, that would be our decision, right? Is that correct?
That would be correct, Commissioner Spring. And we would just have to engage in those discussions earlier, right, in this coming fall. But yes, we can have those conversations. You would have that ability to make those adjustments, yep.
Commissioner Whitmire.
Sure, yeah, thanks. Commissioner Whitmire, I fully support the concept. I get hung up on April 1. But guys, I mean, I know plenty of guys are out there today, you know, to have that. It's uncertainty, you know, if you talk to a cattle owner, sure helps if there's snow. So these are the most advantageous times of snow, too. And there's a market. November 8th, breeding season, the pelts aren't as good as they would have been, you know, now it's in March. But, that value, I hate to see guys that, you know, darn well shot a thing on March 30th and they turned it in on the 1st. I mean, you know, so back then, it gets to be, I guess, you know, I just feel like, you know, how do we not count those that were January, February kills? I mean, a dead coyote in January is still dead.
Anyway, I just want to, I mean, this is, not knowing what's the perfect solution, and because probably there isn't, but absolutely what Commissioner Spring said, you know, first coyotes in 1983 for me. I mean, we did zero. I mean, they were not heard of, you know, and then suddenly they took off, you know, that's just how it is. So it's a problem. I mean, I coming into this meeting, you know, having looked at the Nest Predator, the report dashboard.
Yeah.
There's 31 skunks were captured in all Day County last year. I shot 25 myself in 98. I mean, skunks are non-heard of. I haven't seen a skunk on the farm. I mean, you know, okay, so is it coyotes? Is it nest predators? Is it combo? What is it? But I would guess that it's an all-time low in my lifetime for the number of skunks. And you'll learn more off of that dashboard. I mean, the counties to the west of us, not even 10 in the whole county during the nest predator skunks in a county that used to catch 100 plus when we first started the program. You know, I maybe that is coyotes. I mean, it's not just livestock that these things are after. I mean, venting to Secretary Roebling that pocket gophers are just crazy. Well, when my kids were catching pocket gophers back in the day, they'd catch occasional weasels, you know, incidental catches. Today, they're not catching weasels anymore. It's, you know, they're just not out there. Well, why is that? And I blame coyotes. But, you know, so I do think that there's a real problem, and I'm glad I'm trying to maneuver that, but there's just, you know, some of those hiccups, like, you know, the borders and people bringing in, if you offer, you know, a nice amount that might incentivize people, you know, a little more, $30-$40, well, that's just more, you know, it brings in that temptation. I'm going to go fishing in South Dakota, give him my brand here some tails, and he can, you know, I just, those claims are going to happen. They're already happening when they have a coyote hunt up by Roslyn. There was a claim that somebody brought in coyotes, you know, so they could win that contest. It's just, you know, so, I mean, it just, you know, we're going to have the claims.
Yeah.
So just to, but at April 1, I hate to have that become too much controversial when you know the prime time to hunt is, you know,
yeah,
earlier than that, especially June when the grass is growing.
Again, we understand that. And again, that's why this is a 1 year approach and consideration. And, you know, even you adopting this, you know, we need just a little time from a logistical standpoint to put everything in place as well from the tracking and those. It won't take us long. Right? I mean, we'll be there. But there's probably no perfect date to start any particular program, right? And again, we can have those conversations, look at adjusting the dates next time if that is the case and the prerogative of the commission. Again, our focus was looking at this was that primary window, that time window of calving, lambing, and thinking of fawns and both deer and antelope and those things, and like putting the draft concept together for your consideration here. So I do want to go back a little bit to, because multiple of you and now have asked the question about, is 20 enough? Is that the right dollar amount? Certainly sense a level of maybe it should be a little bit more. So I just would respectfully ask, if you have those reservations, what is something you'd feel a little more comfortable with? Because we want to make sure that you're comfortable, you think it'd be appropriate and fair at the same time. But again, 20 might be too low. Maybe it's a little bit something different. I don't know. But if you have a strong belief or feeling on this, we'd certainly like to hear it so we can pull this together to what you want it to be.
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Spray.
No, I think that it should be a higher price, but I think we would do get more people out doing it if it was $30-$35, but that's my opinion. We need to have an incentive to have people get out. $20 seems low to me, so that's my opinion.
Commissioner Teal.
I would also support probably a $30 on this test run, knowing that it's probably a shorter run as well, and that might be a better gauge on how many people are partaking in the program. We can adjust next year as needed, whether we expand it and cut the money, or if we keep it shorter and hire money, or whatever we think will work best. So I would be for that.
So as a commission, would be considering a $30 per coyote bounty? Very good.
Yep.
So, yes, Commissioner.
The dollars would remain $300,000.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Yes.
Effectively, yeah. Or would be $10,000.
My question references more to the individual bounty, if I may, not the overall dollar. The overall cap would still be that $300,000.
So, Director, as I'd like to have us move on this quickly. You will adjust that in the resolution.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, very good. Yep. So, with that, Commissioners, we do need to take action on this. The department will adjust that amount from $20 to $30 in the resolution, but we do need to decide if we would like the department to create that resolution for us, which we will take action on tomorrow.
I move we go forward on it.
We have a motion from Commissioner Cole to move forward.
Seconded
by Commissioner Spring. Comments on that motion? Very good. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, we'll move forward. Thank you. And with that, we are not going to take item 16 today, or I'm sorry, 18 today. So Mr. Canta will do that tomorrow. So thank you for your flexibility. But before we go, we do want to do one recognition. Part of our commissioned family, this is his last meeting. Commissioner Jim White has been a valuable member of the commission, and he will be stepping away to care for family and take care of things at home. So before we say farewell but not goodbye to Commissioner White, we want to thank you for your service to the commission, to the department, to the people of South Dakota. We'd like to give you the opportunity to say anything, but before we do, Secretary Roebling, would you like to say anything?
Yeah, I do, and thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity. Commissioner White has been a phenomenal commissioner the last few years. I got to meet Commissioner White in the legislature, and he was a senator, and I always knew that he was going to serve in this role as a commissioner very, very well, and he did. And I just want to thank him on behalf of the entire team GF&P. Thank you, Commissioner, for doing a phenomenal job serving the public, connecting people and families to the outdoors. We're going to miss you. We're very fortunate to have you for the time we did. And I just now can say, go enjoy the great outdoors to the fullest extent possible. A man that loves to hunt, fish, camp, do all the things that we are here to offer. And that's always very special when you have somebody that's very passionate about those outdoor resources. Thank you for coming to this meeting so we can publicly recognize you and also see you at dinner tonight. So thank you, Commissioner, and we'll present a few things to you there as well. So thank you.
Jim, would you like to say a few words?
Well, I just want to compliment this organization, like you just displayed right here, of dealing in a very wise and effortless way of issues that you're going to have to deal with in the future. Victor Roebling, Chairman Ressler, this commission has been an outstanding emblem, I think, effort and model for a lot of other states that would like to see some of the things that you have accomplished. Again, as a legislator, I helped implement the CREP program, which is one of those things that other states probably get their IT support. I think we've done a great thing. We have a lot of successes, and we're solid going forward, and it's a tribute to everything that you do. And before I would like to pay tribute to Travis Peace. When I came on the board, he was kind of my mentor. He told me what not to do and what not. And I know that through what you can't do. So from that point on, I just seconded his motions. First, I was with Gary DeWeed. And just check, I think there's 480 some personnel out there that got their emblem on Game Fish and Parks. They're all partners and they all making some type of impact, positive impact across the state on a daily basis. And so, we just have to keep it up. Thank you for everything that you've done with us. And lastly, I'd like to thank my wife Paulette for the support that she has gone through with my being a commissioner. So, thank you.
Very good. Very good. And with that, we are going to call it a day for today. We will start right back up again at 8 a.m. Central Time. So with that, we will be in recess till 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.